Yeah, and we're very opposite. Men and women are so crazy complementary. I mean, male and female. I mean, it's, you know, as an artist, this conversation of opposites. Mm. All beautiful pictures and right. music and stories. Yeah, right? It's a conversation. You literally are seeing, these are shapes that are interacting, the asymmetry of light and dark and sharp and soft and it works in food with spicy and sweet. And everything is these conversation of opposites. And so marriage is this beautiful, complementary, crazy mystery of male and female and light and dark and day and night and all these opposites that we're in the middle of this grand mix right now. Mm-hmm. And it's an adventure, and it's your spouse is like a mirror to you. Mm-hmm. You know, they always say, if you're ever having trouble in confession, figuring out what your sins are, ask your wife.
Wow, they say that.
Yeah, that's at least what they tell guys.
Vulnerable. And,
right? Your wife will have a pretty good idea of what you're struggling with. And
I think we bring each other along. Like, sometimes you are, like, kind of lost in these big thoughts, and I'm grounding for you. And sometimes I get so caught up in the minutia and the practical things that need to happen that you elevate me to these higher thoughts. And then sometimes we switch places. You know, get the practical stuff done, and then I can be creative or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, in the spiritual life also, sometimes I'm doing well and I'm like challenging you. And then other times you're doing much better, and I learn from your
totally part
example.
Of, like, the vocation. Yeah. Like, your husband and your wife are each other's path to heaven.
Yeah,
right?
For
like,
sure.
You know, I know the phrase, like, you complete me is really interesting, but in a way, it's not necessarily like a completion, but it's like a complementing mirror that's going to make you a better person, and it's going to lead you to your final destination. And how beautiful is it that, like, God knows each person individually and knows what they need before you even knew what you needed.
Yeah.
And you're in your first four years of your marriage, and said yes to each other, not even knowing how much you were going to grow with each other.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of young people today, like, they want to know, and that's so fair because we're human, and we want to, like, know, okay, is this the right person, or should I wait another, I don't know, 5 years until I find someone who completely checks off all of the boxes?
Yeah.
And then there are some people who are just like, you can make it work with anyone, which is also another interesting concept, but, like, it's you with God.
Yeah.
And he'll just continue opening these doors that you'll walk through, and, like, friendships that'll, like, lead you to know this person. And it's just so beautiful. What I'm hearing in this conversation is God reminding us constantly that we are small, and that he's our father, and that he will provide, and, like, we don't have to have it all figured out.
Absolutely. I mean, God will give you the grace that you need, and the grace from the sacrament of marriage. We forget that as Catholics, we have this powerful sacrament that we've participated in, and it's not just like, oh, you're married and we're this lesser thing.
Yeah.
Priests are up here, and monks and religious people, oh, they're extra holy, and we're just these kind of lesser people to go, no, this is a path to holiness. This is sanctified by God. It's the only sacrament that actually is given to us through each other.
Right.
The priest is just there as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this power of a sacramental marriage in the Catholic faith that actually comes with power. And without it, someone once told me, marriage actually is impossible. It's just impossible. It's humanly impossible. By human standards, it's inevitable. Maybe in very rare cases, people can do it somehow without God, but I've never seen it. Mm. I've never seen a very happy, successful marriage where people are not relying on God daily. And what's interesting through the story is that not only did Melissa convert from Protestant faith to the Catholic faith, but then she passed me up and saying, you know what, we really should try to go to Mass every day.
Mm.
And I thought, what are you talking about?
I just saw the vocation because of this desire to be a mother and this desire to be close to Jesus. And it was given this word I had never heard before called vocation. And by the time I met Opus Dei, we were already married. I was like, yes, this is the most important thing in my life. This is the thing I can offer to God. This is the thing that's going to help me grow as a human being and transmit that to my children. So by the time I heard the word vocation, I was like, yes, that's it. That's the thing.
And the idea of living holiness, to strive to be saints, that we're all called to be saints, that was a radical statement that I'd never heard, and it's Vatican II, but it was just shocking that as a married person, that we can also be called to holiness. And so
you told somebody one time, like, oh, I thought about
I think I should have been a priest, or I really should have lived a celibate life. And someone who I knew very well said, you would have been the worst priest ever. It was a friend of mine who said, it's not enough in marriage to say, like, I'm always going to be faithful to my wife. That's a minimum. Mm. But to say, don't even look at any other woman. Don't allow yourself to be attracted to any other woman. It's like, you obviously recognize beauty where beauty exists, but to not allow yourself a second glance at any beautiful woman. And the idea that no one talks about that. Mm. No one, you know, people just say, I've never cheated on my wife. It's like, okay, but...
Congrats,
right? Okay, yay for you. But do you find yourself lingering on any other images? And is that possible to have that kind of discipline? But going hand in hand with being a father of daughters, to say, well, wait a second. If I'm concerned that my daughter is going to be thrown to the wolves, if I'm concerned that my daughter is going to be thrown into a world where men are looking at her just as an object, well, wait a second, am I doing that?
Right.
Am I having this fear because I'm guilty of the same thing? And so if I want my daughters to be truly raised in a healthy, safe environment, I need to step it up. Mm-hmm. I need to be putting away those glances or whatever. I need to become a much better person than I am right now. And through years and years of confession and to honestly say, it's been this truly inclined plane. Wow. It's not just like, well, I'm failing again, to go, okay, there's successes and failures, but over the course of all these years, to go, wow, there truly is growth there. I can look back and say, I'm a much different person than I was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of this beautiful thing of marriage, which was instituted by God, that God created man male and female. Mm-hmm. That's right in Genesis. And that's, especially recently, I'm super excited about this philosopher, Leonardo Polo, who is really building upon Thomas Aquinas and the idea of this notion of humans as a gift self, that the notion of God as a gift self is the way he puts it, that humans aren't truly happy until you're giving of yourself, and that God is doing the same thing for us, but you're not actually receiving it. It's not a gift until you receive it. And so in marriage, this idea of total gift of self, that I am a servant to my wife, and that my way to heaven is through her, not in any kind of Mormon way where we're each going to be king.
No,
we don't have our own planet when this whole thing is done. But that the person closest to me in my life, the friend that knows me the best, the person I'm most intimate with, the person I'm sharing the most struggles with, is my wife. This is a person that's right next to me, and that's the more I give of myself, the happier I am. But then she does the same thing. So in the perspective of the true friendship is a giving of self. This is not just a utilitarian friendship, that we actually are recognizing that there is a new being, a new living thing that's greater than each of us. It's this covenant marriage we have. And this, I think, is just a warm-up for what heaven is. Mm. That God is expecting us in heaven. He's prepared a wedding feast, this beautiful wedding that's waiting for us with Jesus as the groom, the church as the bride of Christ, that this thing is a big covenant that's waiting for us, a big party. Mm-hmm. And so this, to me, is a foreshadowing a preview mm-hmm. of this beautiful marriage that's waiting for us. And so this is practice. If we're not getting this right, mm-hmm. we're not going to be open for the wedding feast that is to come.
We've had just a series of job successes, a lot of job struggles and losses, and, you know, a feast or famine. The nature of my career is always making a lot of money, losing a lot of money, making a lot of money, losing a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We always joke that at least one of us probably should have had some course or class in business of some kind. So, but here we are.
But we have all these beautiful moments in between of, like, one time we got caterpillars or chrysalises for the little girls to become butterflies. So you would watch these, like, little chrysalises form, and then one day the butterflies would all hatch. And this was, I guess we already had five little girls at this point. And the day came, one of the chrysalises cracked open and the butterfly was kind of stretching its wings. So we had two or three little cages. And so we opened the lids and the one by one, the butterflies, like, were flying away. And then all of a sudden, all five of the butterflies were flying
up. I said, yippee,
like,
yay, yeah, butterflies.
So beautiful.
We're finally letting all the butterflies fly free.
And then one little girl just starts crying, and then all five little girls are just sobbing because these little butterflies are flying away. But it's just like those stories, like, how did we do that? How did we have five little individual human beings, like, looking to us for each meal and each nap time and each boo-boo and each, like, a fun time discovering something? It was just like, we just receive so many graces.
All the unsung heroes, all the saints that are never named. I'm sure we all have stories of grandparents or great-grandparents. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Okay, no one knows their name. They're not famous. Mm-hmm. But they just worked every day, or they may have had struggles with this or that or out of job. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I hear a story of my grandfather just, you know, my mom would come in and he'd be praying on his knees, praying the rosary.
Wow.
And she would just catch him. And he had his own struggles in many ways, but that was one consistent thing he did. And so who knows? Mm-hmm. Those prayers strengthen that family, which then strengthened my family. And who knows what little acts he did that kind of rippled through the generation. This is your true retirement.
This is generational wealth.
This is generational wealth, right? It's like,
I really like that idea that you're bringing up of this, like, personal responsibility, because it's true that there might be some people in homes where it's not always happy and it might be broken, but living with this mentality of the more people that you bring into your life, it's like an opportunity for there to be more people to pray for you. Mm-hmm. I'm talking with one of my cousins about our grandmother, who growing up, she was always praying rosaries on the couch. And what you were saying about the rosary was just so interesting, because it was like, you know, we were playing outside and we didn't understand, you know, why she was always, like, many rosaries a day, right? Wow. Like, being on her knees. And we're just like, wow, those were pennies in the jar, because my cousin was like, you know, I look back and I think we've gone through so much, and it's almost as if those prayers that she was praying when we were like five are just now like taking effect. And it just shows that power of, like, she didn't even see the fruit of her prayer, but that constancy, that love, you know, you don't understand why.
Yeah.
But, like, when you have more people in your life, you give them an opportunity to, like, know what you need. And if you have friends who pray, being vulnerable and being like, hey, I'm not doing so hot. Yeah. Can you please pray for this? Like, it's an opportunity to let more graces in.
Yeah.
And that's wealth.
And you're absolutely right. It's like, you don't see it at the time. In fact, I don't know if I know of a single argument or debate with any person I've ever seen where the other person's like, I agree. I totally understand your point of view. I've now changed my mind, and your faith, I really like it, and I'm now Catholic, or I'm now, whatever, growing deeper in my faith. But it's like 10 years later, someone's mm-hmm. like, you know that thing you said? Mm-hmm. And half the time, I'm thinking, like, I don't know if I even said that, but I'll say the Holy Spirit said that, because it wasn't me, or I'm not that wise, but whatever you got out of it, I'm glad it happened. I'm glad in my, you know, imperfection, I was able to show someone who's at least struggling to do the right thing, to bring God's word to the people around me, and so to have that kind of humility. So it is, it's exactly as you say, it's like, you don't realize, like, it might be 20 years later, 10 years later, you know, 30 years later, you're going, that was amazing what that person did, that example. We have an open door policy, and it's our job to magnify this gift, to encourage other families to say, this is really the best adventure you can have.
It's a vocation, and it's a gift from God.
Right.
Right. We didn't choose this vocation before the beginning of time.
Right.
God knew us.
Yes.
He knew our vocation. And we're just so happy to be living it in all of its, like, humanity and messiness, and
mm-hmm.
things are broken and whatnot. I love the idea of the family, right? That God came to earth in a family.
Right.
And in a poor family, and a family that had to work really hard, but that was open.
Mm-hmm.
That was open to receive God as man in a family. And so if you're not in a family, if you're dating, like, go for it. Just, like, search out, find your person, create a new family. God will be there. God
yeah.
is going to live there because he loves families.
I love that.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of After Cana. If you enjoyed listening, share it with a friend, subscribe, and leave a review, or visit us at ferristloveshrine.org.